Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. From tactical analysis
pelota para la banda izquierda.
To player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're going to be breaking down Club America's 3-1 victory over Tigres in the Estadio Volcán. We're going to be talking about the upcoming debut, potentially, of Alan Saint-Maximin. We'll get a couple of words from our panelists as to what they think this player brings and what impact they think he will have to the squad. We'll give you guys our 2 cents in that. And then, of course, we'll close out the show with the last game before the international break for Las Águilas del América, another road trip, this time over to Guadalajara to face off against Atlas in the Estadio Jalisco. So plenty of Club América stuff to talk about. And joining me today to break it all down, it is none other than Mr. Brian himself. Brian, how are you, man?
Good. It's been a long time, but glad to be back so we can talk some América.
Absolutely. Last time we spoke, we actually had a very in-depth conversation about Club América and their financials.
Yes.
So it's good to have you back. Good to talk all things Club América. And I feel like you and I are a little bit on the same page as to what we feel like this team has, or at least lack of, shown this season so far. So a lot to be digested. And let's talk about this matchup against Tigres. Let's talk about what we saw on the pitch. A little bit about what we saw a little bit off afterwards with the little confrontation that Bruneta and Andre Jardine had at the end. But to start things off, América was coming into this game a little bit underdogs, right? I mean, that's fair to say. América wasn't really necessarily the favorite coming into this one. And when we were speaking about this game last week with our guest, he mentioned something interesting, that a lot of the Tigres fans were looking at this game as a must-win from their perspective, seeing as how in recent years América has had a leg over Tigres. How did you come into this game, viewing obviously what we've seen so far from América? What were you expecting, or was there any expectation at all coming into this game?
Yeah, no, I don't know what to expect right now with this current phase of América. Like we kind of talk about, like I've said, like I don't know what to expect in the attack. I don't know what to expect in other aspects of this roster. So this was a pleasant surprise, especially after Leagues Cup, where kind of blasé, kind of, you know, bland football, not a lot of spirit in it. And so I didn't have a lot of expectations. Result is great, of course. And for, you know, to beat a team like that, I mean, there are just no complaints. It's weird. It's weird to get 2 goals from Sanchez. There's your contributor for the day, but can't complain on it either.
Yeah, this is one of these games that you kind of walk away with. You didn't have much expectation coming into it, thinking you were going to get wowed. And then you do, and you're thinking, okay, this is good. This is positive. This is a lot of good to take away. Because I was here, sitting here last week, thinking about, okay, the Querétaro game, and how much do we dissect from that, right? Yeah, we got 3 points, but it wasn't the most stellar performance. We only were able to score 1 goal against this very poor Querétaro side. And even then, they put up a fight. So now, coming into this, seeing how América played against Tigres, you mentioned, right, after the terrible performances that we've been having, Leagues Cup, Campeón de Campeones, etc., it's nice to see that hopefully América is turning the page and we're starting to see kind of this new chapter of, okay, there was this slump, but now eventually América is gradually going to make their way back up in the hierarchy where they belong. So it's, yeah, it was a good win. I think it was an impressive win, to say the least. I think whenever I see Jardines start with a back line of, well, some people will say back five or back three, however you want to categorize it. Regardless, whenever I see a formation like that come out, I always feel like we're very much on the defensive end of things, where I feel like Jardines maybe lining himself up to not lose this game and hopefully try to nick it in the counterattack, which kind of was the case for this game. But I don't know if you saw it that way.
Well, I still feel like, even just like we were talking about Leagues Cup, is I feel like he's not quite set on what he wants from this squad, especially, like, I think he's testing the waters a little bit to see what we can get away with and what's bringing forth the best result, right? And I think he has a little bit of time to do that, and that's what we saw against Tigres. So again, it rendered something positive, so I think this might be something moving forward, you see a little bit more of. It was odd, of course, seeing the lineup at first, but then again, once you get the result, it's like, okay, that's just a little extra to move forward with.
Yeah, Jardinet continues to kind of flirt with both formations, right? It's obvious that his ideal formation is that either 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3, whatever you want to call it. But I think he has been trying to train, at least for the past year, these players to feel comfortable with a back three as well. And it does offer a lot of, you know, advantages going forward. It's just, I think, tracking back is where I get nervous. We leave a lot of space sometimes, and we kind of give up the midfield when we ever do play that formation. But I guess it's one of those things where you lose to gain something at the end of the day, which I guess is something to highlight. But overall, look, this was a performance in where I think a lot of Americanistas will feel like we're back type of situation. And I would kind of want to just kind of maybe put the brakes on that a little bit and just say, this is a good performance. This is a good game after a terrible performances in the last, what, 5-6 games that we've had. But it's important to get these victories. It's important to build momentum. And it's important to kind of get ourselves in these situations where we feel like, okay, we're doing good. And now we kind of carry on and build upon that. I mean, you said it yourself. This is a matchup in where you saw a contributor like Chiquito Sanchez kind of be a difference maker. Oddly enough, Brian, we were joking about him, right? He kind of lives off these performances. And then 2-3 months out later, we kind of start asking questions again about him. Was he kind of your man of the match, or did you think someone else stood out a little bit more?
I mean, it's kind of hard to say no, right? I mean, when you put together a brace against a big-name team who was playing good, even dating back to now, to the League's Cup, and when they view this game as a must-win, to put that together, it's hard to say no, right? So, yeah, he's the man of the match, and you have to proceed with caution because there are opportunities where he can shine. But if he starts to go quiet, then we get to look at this. We will look back like, here we go again with, you know, an MVP type game with little, you know, return. But I'm not going to make a prediction yet or anything. So it's kind of like, yeah, move with caution.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Alrighty then. Well, let's bring in our second panelist of the night who has officially joined us now. It is none other than the man himself, Chris Rivera. Chris, how are you, my friend?
I feel sick because of the weather, if I'm being honest with you, but, you know, drinking a lot of water, and hopefully I'll feel better after that.
Well, hopefully. Take some Tylenol, some Claritin, and let's get ready to talk some Club America stuff here. Me and Brian were just kind of discussing a little bit about this performance that we saw America have against Tigres. Are you on the same boat as the majority of all Americanistas? Is America officially back? Is all the negativity behind us, and now it's nothing but clear skies ahead?
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily paint it like that. I mean, I told you, even after the Querétaro game, right, I told you, you know, that we need to look at these games as half full, half empty, right? You can't just sit here and overhype the team just because they got a result that you like. And you also can't bash them to the point you think they're, you know, the worst team ever because they didn't get the result that you wanted, right? I think to me, what I saw was a team that's getting better on a weekly basis. There's stuff that I still don't like, and I don't know if we're going to have those issues solved just because I don't know if we have the players to fix those issues. But again, we're scoring in these games. You know, I think that's the most important thing. Once the defense starts getting, you know, more solid, I do think that's when I'm more optimistic to the point I'm calling them the best team in the league. But for now, I think, you know, just take it 1 week at a time. That was our first test, and the way the schedule's looking, you know, there's more tough opponents coming up. Once we're done with that wave, that's when we're going to really know what this team is made of.
Yeah, that's right. You look at the calendar, and America's got themselves lined up quite the heavy opponents after the international break, right? Papa Pachuca, the Clásico. I think we also go up against Cruz Azul pretty quickly. So there's a lot of names on the board coming up that I think America is going to have to find themselves quickly. And I think you mentioned it perfectly, Chris. This was the true big test that America had, aside from the game against Toluca and the Campeones Cup, right?
And that one was not really fair because it's the first game, right? So it's like preseason-ish. Obviously, you have to win that game, and you don't. But at the same time, you have to look at it as, oh, this isn't going to be the team in December and in late November, right? We're going to see a whole different version of it later on. when the season is way more deepened.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how strong this America side truly is going to be. And I want to look at this from a perspective of the glass is half full, although my tendencies are to look at things with half empty binoculars. But there is something that you talked about that I think it has to be noted, and that is the defensive work has looked better. And I think one of the main parts is because Ramon Juarez has looked stellar, Brian, in that back line. I still don't think he is the tip-top center back that we all want him to be. I think, do you think he has some flaws that he needs to work on? There was instances where I think Correa was kind of getting away from him and when he was trying to man mark him. And the aerial duels, I think he needs to step it up a little bit. But again, I mentioned it last week. He's unfortunately Mexican, so that doesn't mean he's going to be the tallest player in the world. But he has gotten better, and he continues to progressively get better. That I think at this point, there's no dispute that he has to be the starter, regardless of anything else.
Yeah, no, I think he's the starting potential. There's a little bit of a comparison here in the early stages of Johan Vázquez, where his issue was not necessarily like on the physical side, which you could say for Juarez, but he would be caught flat-footed a lot, which he has really fixed. So for me with Juarez is like he can gain that physicality. Of course, you can't, you know, physically grow, but being a better player in the physical side and then marrying that with position IQ and things like that, I think he's got that ability. So that's why I really like him out there. Definitely, again, room for improvement. He's not a complete finished player, but that's still there. That's still able to be accomplished to me.
Yeah, and I bring him up because he's a player that a lot of Americanistas have been speaking about ever since his performance against Portland in the League's Cup, right? And he demonstrated that he is pivotal to making sure that this America backline stays looking sharp. And another player that I think merits to be shouted out in this matchup was Luis Ángel Malagón, a player that has gone through a lot of scrutiny within not just Liga MX fans, but America fans themselves. And now you're seeing a much more improved Malagón, which I'm sure is good news to not only him, but probably Javier Aguirre as well.
Yeah, no, because, you know, there's this phase, you know, if you're looking at the national team where it's like the criticism is going to be hyper, right? So you got to bring your A game. So when he's able to transfer it over back to the club, and then you start diminishing those criticisms and then transferring back over to like national team, then the noise isn't as intense. So games like that are massive for him, for sure.
Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is when I think about Luis Ángel Malagón, he obviously made his debut against Tigres in the Estadio Volcán. I remember we spoke about that one on the podcast and we said, you know, if Malagón does get the start and he needs to showcase from the get-go that he's hungry, he wants his position, and he was just lights out. And it was good to see him again in a very familiar position, and where a lot of talk was about him and his kind of, was he going to hang on to that starting 11 spot? And now he showcases himself that, yes, he's merited it and he still deserves it to this point. So it's good to see a backline do very well. It didn't look like it was going to be that type of game, though, Chris. If we're being honest, going 1-0 down very early on into this game, you're thinking, America again, conceding first, as seems to be the tendency within these past couple of games, especially when we're on the road.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't necessarily have an issue with it. Just because one thing I've learned with Jardine's team is that I'd rather they go and chase for the goal instead of getting that goal early and being comfortable and trying to have these weird subs where it's like it's a 70 minute and you're over here defending the lead, right? So for me, you know, I like what I saw. I think, you know, you need that aggression, right? And the thing is, you'll see an America side sometimes respect their opponent a little too much. And when we got scored on, I think what we saw was a team slowly just get better as the game went on. And you see it with the three goals that we scored.
Yeah, it was good to see the intensity, right? The drive to want to go and obviously pursue the game because you have to, you're a goal down. But we always look at these matches whenever we do concede and say, okay, what is the reaction like, right? And I know we didn't have the most stellar League's Cup. I'll be the first one to admit that. But it was nice to see that even though every time we went a goal down, we always found a way back, right? There was always an instance of like, okay, we're going to fight for it. And yeah, it was good to see that America battled it out and we got the 3 points and we got the performance that we got. And I think overall, this is a very well-rounded game. I know a lot of people in the media especially are calling this game like a tactical genius from André Jardinet. And I mean, rightfully so. I do think he out-tacticked, outclassed Pizarro in that sense. But I don't think it was the most stellar game to be like, it is one of his best games, if not top 10 games of his entirety stint at Las Águilas in America. But it was a good showcasing, and now the team is back on track, and it looks like, you know, we're starting to turn that page, and hopefully you put those ghosts of the past behind you and you start focusing on the objective, the only objective that's left this year so far, which is the league. So we'll go from there. Did you guys see, though, that this match after the final whistle blew ended up in a little bit of a squabble between André Jardinet and Brunetta? Chris, you say yes.
Yeah, I seen it. It was a,
what happened there?
It's a misunderstanding. We had an away section, which is illegal, right? Ever since the whole incident in Querétaro, you can't have a section of supporters. And for some reason, we did. He went to go, you know, say hi. And obviously, it looks like he's doing it to Tigres fans. And, well, you know, Brunetta misunderstood that. He went over there to, you know, confront him about it. Then the players started getting into it a little bit. You know, I think it all got cleared up, right? Because there was no issue with it with the league or with the clubs or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the league didn't post one of those famous, what is it called?
The fines.
Informative post that, you know, they're saying that they're fining or whatever. I just thought it was interesting. It's hilarious that I think Jardinet has now forever kind of cemented himself with the celebration, that iconic three, right? That three that he posted up. Started off with the Cruz Azul fans. Now, I think if and when any other fan base tries to heckle him, that it's just hilarious to me, Brian, that he just can, you know, just bust out the three and just be like, and what?
I mean, that's his clapback, you know? Those are his trophies, yeah. So, yeah.
And it's nice to have a manager that has that a little bit of fire in him, right? Like he'll tolerate a lot of stuff, but if need be, He can push back.
And well, it's good to see. He's grown into that role a little bit because, you know, as time has gone on, obviously winning helps, but it matches the characteristics of the league to me. So you kind of have to have some of that, especially with a team like America.
I'd say it's a lost 100%. Art, if we're being honest. I think in Mexico, it's become a little too watered down. While in South America, it's just like, this is normal, right? This is normal reaction to rival clubs. You need that. You need these characters. You need these quote-unquote rivalries, right? Because even though Tigres isn't a rival, you kind of need to spice it up a bit. As long as it doesn't get violent, right? I think that's what we all agree. It's just like...
Yeah, yeah. Keep
don't,
it up.
Don't cross the line. Just keep it, you know, banter and stuff, and we'll be good.
Yeah, no, I agree. And those little things, while may seem provocative to other teams, I think as a fan base, you kind of tend to gravitate towards it and love it. I think that's why Piojo was so endured quickly with the fans, because he was able to show that side of him, and a lot of fans kind of respected him for that. And so it's just nice to see Jardine on that side and just being like, okay, yeah, it's nice to see that our manager has a little bit of fire in him. But that's América versus Tigres. Three very important points against a very tough side, a very tough opponent, in which I'm sure they'll be kicking themselves for not being able to do a much better job against us. But hey, 3 points that put us in very good position. I think we're just 1 point away from the league leaders right now. So it showcases that, you know, América is doing good. And as Dylan would like to remind all of us, we continue to be undefeated in the league. So again, props to América for doing that. I think the only other team that is undefeated at the moment is Cruz Azul. So it's us and them, and we'll see if they're still undefeated by the time that we face each other off in the league. I think that would spice up the matchup just a little bit more. So that's Tigres versus América. Do you guys have anything else to add on before we kind of wrap up this segment?
Which is a good win. Don't celebrate it too much. Just got to move on and collect what you can.
Absolutely. It's a good victory. Builds momentum. You just got to focus on the next one. So with that said, that's América versus Tigres. Coming up next, we'll talk a little bit about the transfer market. Not much of an update there, but we'll see if Chris has any insight on what's going on with Guido Rodriguez or Palavecino. And to close out the show, we'll talk Alan Saint-Maximin debut? ? We'll see. Atlas versus América coming up in just a moment. Americanistas, today's episode is brought to you by Tom's Watch Bar, the official home of Club America in the United States. Every game this season will be streamed at Tom's Watch Bar. That's right, all the games, all the time, meaning you always have a place to catch our Aguilas in action. So, head over to your local Tom's Watch Bar to experience an America game like never before. Visit tomswatchbar.com/events for more information. Thank you to Tom's for sponsoring today's episode. All right, transfer market rumors, updates, whatever you want to call it. Transfer rumor segment, I guess, is the best way to title it. Chris, any updates on Club America potentially making any more signings, or is the front office officially closed and that's pretty much all the business we have this summer transfer window?
To me, it doesn't sound like it's closed, but it's just a miracle if anything else happens. It's just one of those things where they're just like, we're open to move these players, right? Like Davila is the name you kind of hear the most. They're open to moving him, but it's like no team is interested in the contract. It's more of like they're interested in the player, but they're not interested in the contract. And that's where we're at. Unless someone leaves, that's where anything else happens. And as of right now, it just seems like it's a bunch of smoke.
America again finds themselves in a very much in a situation that they find themselves too often, Brian, in where our hands are tied because we have no more foreigner spots because all of our foreigners have taken way too high of a contract that no one's willing to pick up their wages, even on a loan move. I mean, again, especially when you talk about Victor Davila, a player that came on loan with obligations to buy if he met certain criteria. And the criteria must have been very low because he somehow met it and we bought him out. Now we're looking to offset him and we can't because of the wages and all that good stuff. Again, it's one of these things that America fans continue to kind of criticize the board for, and it's these terrible financial decisions when it comes to not just scouting players, signing players, but also giving them these extravagant contracts that you just feel like shouldn't be happening at this point.
It's almost like overstepping, you know? And then it's just like, how many times do we have to see Brian Rodriguez linked to a club?
Yeah.
It's like 14 rumors in a calendar year, you know?
So. Yeah, no, I mean that's mostly up to his manager just kind of trying to stir the pot and I mean I get it that he's doing his job right, trying to get his player to, you know, go to a European league or another place where they're gonna pay him even better, but it's just frustrating that America again. It's like we're living the whole Roger Martinez saga all over again. You know, like we can't get him out, contract's too high, no one wants to get him. It's frustrating. And we're not just talking about Victor Davila now. Look at, you know, Jovito. He hasn't been registered, but we're still paying his wages. He's still under contract. So, I don't know. I it's frustrating. You know, you get it. We bring in these players with good faith and thinking you're going to offer them a good salary, thinking they're going to be here for the long term. But there's got to be... You have to be smart enough that at this point, you have to find ways to move these players in and out. You've been in this situation for far too long, too many times. Right, the Richard Sanchez situation, how long was that dilemma? Because of the same issue, salaries. So, it's frustrating. But if a miracle was to happen, Chris, what are the names that are being thrown out there right now?
Well, there's Palavecino, right, from Necaxa, which the report is that Necaxa's down to do the negotiations, but it has to be until January. That's where... You know, they're more open to it just because they think the window's closing. You know, they don't think they have enough time to really, you know, find a replacement. And it's not an easy negotiation either because we're talking about a player that's going to go for 9 or 10 million, right? Other teams in Mexico has tried to go for them. Toluca was looking at him as a Marcel Ruiz replacement. Ultimately, that move didn't happen for them, right? Because of the whole Marcel Ruiz rejecting England and Brazil. It tells us, though, you know, what we have to do. It's more of a release clause thing. And we know how America works with all that, right? They're going to drag it. And I don't know if a couple weeks, right, that's left of this transfer window is enough for us to get that. There's Guido Rodriguez, which from what I heard, he's open. Right, Cesar Luis Medlo said he's open to return. He's more interested in staying in Europe, but he's open to return. But America's not doing the effort to go and get him. It's more of again, Davila has to leave. Brian Rodriguez was the most, you know, available person to leave, or the most, just, you know, the best option to leave. Now it's looking like they're trying to, you know, extend his contract. The Qatari team withdrew their offer. So now it's just a matter of, you know, Davila. I think Davila has, I don't know. It just looks like it's Davila or nothing. And I'll say this, I do expect Mexican players to leave. Like, I see Nestor Araujo not even hitting the bench anymore. He's training and all, but he just doesn't get called up. I would expect that, you know, maybe his contract gets bought out or something happens. Naveda, again, he's there, but he's not playing. He's not even in the youth. They're not even playing him there. So I would imagine those two players are going to end up leaving. But again, the Mexican player doesn't really matter in this situation, right? Because it doesn't really open up anything. So yeah, that's, I think that's all that we have right now for the whole transfer window.
Crickets then from America. And understandably, right? You have no wiggle room to make any real impact in the market. And so why? I'm not even going to say it like, oh, why bother? But, you know, America's not going to be looking to make business when they don't even have an answer themselves as to how they're going to get rid of some players. But I am curious, Brian, between Palavecino and Guido Rodriguez, who would you pick?
That's a tough one. Just, you know, with the history and experience, it's hard to go against Guido.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think both are great options at the end of the day. And like we've been talking about, we like to see moves. So I guess I could welcome either or.
Yeah, no. And honestly, I'm more on the side of Palavecino just because he's on the right side of 30. Guido's on the wrong side. I mean, not to say that he can't do it, right, in Liga MX at his age. I think he's got more than enough legs to do it. I mean, if he could still put in a decent shift in the Premier League, he could do it in on a rainy night in Juarez. So I think he'll be fine. But again, it's one of those things where, this is like I mentioned with the whole Boanga thing. Don't hold your breath. Don't expect these things to happen overnight. And, you know, America is in somewhat need of a miracle at this point to get rid of one and or two players. But we'll see what happens. But that is our latest update in regards to the transfer market. And make sure you guys follow us over on Twitter at EY Podcast to make sure you guys are up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas and América, especially with the transfer market coming up to close so soon. We'll keep you guys up to date with what América is doing. Hey, Americanistas, Ivan here. And I wanted to invite you guys to sign up to our weekly newsletter if you guys haven't done so already. Make sure you guys head over to our website, eagleeyepodcast.com/newsletter. And that way you guys can sign up and subscribe and you guys are up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas and América. We give you guys a full weekly recap every Friday of the ins and outs of Coapa. And of course, we keep you guys up to date with what's going on in our world as well regarding the podcast. So if that is something you guys are interested in, that's something you guys want to do, make sure you guys head over again to our website, eagleeyepodcast.com/newsletter, to keep up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas and América. All right, gentlemen, let's move on into our next segment. Let's talk América versus Atlas, or should I say Atlas versus América, second road game of the season, back-to-back for América. Let's talk about, first of all, the elephant in the room. Everybody wants to know, Alan Saint-Maximin, is he going to debut against Atlas? If you were a betting man, which I know you are, Brian, how much would you put on that Saint-Maximin not only debuts in this game, but maybe potentially starts?
Start might be a little tough, but, you know, I'd put $50 down on at least play, you know?
Okay. Okay. Chris, what do you think? He plays, but at what point?
Yeah, I think he debuts maybe 75th, maybe. I think he gets a good amount of money. I think he gets a good amount of minutes. Maybe it's not a lot, but I mean, I think he does play.
I think that he will get 30 minutes. I think he comes in minute 60.
It also depends on how the game's going. If it's comfortable.
Well, yeah, absolutely, right? I mean, if we're down and we need a goal, we need to get back into the game, probably see him sooner. But I just think if America does what they need to do, and they're having a good game, and the game permits, I think you just see he's been putting in a lot of reps.
A lot.
Like a lot of reps. A lot. Like he's been in the gym, he's training. Like even when the team was off playing, he was just doing double sessions. Like the guy is coming motivated and dedicated. And that's something that we haven't seen out of many and all foreigners, especially when they come to the league. But he wants to make an impact. And I think he's vigorously trying to get back onto that pitch. And so I think that, you know, he'll be hungry and he'll want to play as much as he can. And I'm sure that within these next couple of days leading up to the team traveling over to Guadalajara, I'm sure he's putting in a shift. I mean, we're seeing those videos come in every day of them in practice. He's tearing the reserves apart because, I mean, inter-squads, right? But he looks like he's hungry, he's dedicated, he's motivated. And I really want to see him perform and hopefully get some real good minutes against Atlas. So
I'll tell you a real bet to put down is if he does play, I mean, if he's starting, then I'll do it. But if he gets in, I'll do a live prop bet of him getting a goal.
Nice.
There you go. That's where you can really, because he's hungry. He wants to.
Yeah, you know, no.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, I'm down. We'll do it. As if he comes in with like at least 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, not with five, but if he gets in there like 62, 68.
Yeah, that's enough time.
Put a live bet down on that.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll do that. Well, at least I'll join you in that bet. I'm sure Christian will definitely join you in that bet. But yeah, look, America Atlas, as much as we want to talk about Alan St. Maximin, obviously the real objective here is America needs another 3 points. And America needs to end off August on a high note here. And what better way to do it than to get 3 points on the road again? This is going to be the last game before the international break, so America's going to have quite the week, even though we do have that friendly against DC United, but still, break, I'll be able to kind of catch our breath. So this game's important, and especially just to kind of build momentum, and you don't want to kind of break it right before the international break. So I think this is an important game, an important moment. I know a lot of people are looking into this one thinking, could this be an easy game? Probably, with the way that Atlas has been performing. But I don't know, Chris. Coca's back. Teams tend to play their best against us. I know it's, you know, recently we've had some good stints at Estadio Jalisco against Atlas, but how do you feel coming into this one?
I feel good. I think, you know, you're coming in with a high, right? Like I said, we've been scoring, bro. Like I told you, you know, in our private chat, I told you, look, bro, there's a way to look at things. You could say, well, you didn't win the game. Well, true, but you also scored a lot. Right? That's what we've been doing. We've been scoring a lot. And when I look at this Atlas team, usually they pull something out of their behind, right? Like that one Hueso Lozano goal that they scored a couple seasons back. Like stuff like that always happens against Atlas, especially at their home. To me, it's always a fun game. Even when we were kids, like when Guardado scored that goal on Ochoa, like it's always something against Atlas, right? So to me, the way I look at it is it's going to be a good matchup. You're coming from a high. You're away in a very hostile environment where you are going to have a lot of fans, right? I think, you know, it has everything to be a really good matchup for us. Another test, a very underrated test, because I think we don't look at Atlas as a competition, right? We don't look at them as a contender. That doesn't matter. That's a team that's going to have their historic coach back, and I do think they have underrated players that could cause damage. So for me, I'm excited for this matchup. I do think, you know, that could be a headache, but like we need these tests. That's what we need. We can't just like run through these teams. I'll give you an example, right? The women's team kind of feels like they peak early, and then the Guia comes and it's like they're not the same team that peaked early, right? For me, the way I want the men's teams to be is just like, show me good and show me bad. Because when you show me bad, I at least know, hey, we're going to have to highlight this, and that's where they have to get better at. If they just run through everybody, well, they're going to get exposed somewhere that we're not looking, and you have to work on stuff. So for me, you know, I do think this matchup is really good for us. And then, like you said, Coca returning, I think we should do good in this match.
Yeah. Yeah, and you did tell me that in our private chat. And you also called me very nasty names, like, you know? And so...
I don't know what you said, but that wasn't me.
You know what I said. Still, regardless, all jokes aside, Brian, what are you looking for in this game? What do you want to see this America side do?
So it's kind of like we talked about, like, you know, Alas is coming in, not in the best form, but that doesn't matter. You have a chance. They have a chance to put, you know, the momentum of their season on a win here, right? So for America, even if you do get that early lead, don't make it don't make it the same game like Querétaro, where it looked like two or three more goals were coming, and they did it. Because this is going to be different. This is going to be a different environment, a different momentum. Morales could sneak one back, or even two. So that's the one thing for América is, how do you manage it, especially if things are going well early? And then don't think that Atlas, just because they're not looking good, is going to bend the knee. They want to come in, especially with the situation they're in, all over on and off the field, to make a statement here.
Agree. That also reminds me, has anyone figured out if they're going to get bought or not?
Yeah, they're up for sale.
I know they're up for sale, but there's still no buyers?
I mean, they're going to have bidders, that's for sure, bro. Like, for American ownership, brother, they're invading Mexico. They're invading Liga Mexicana. And get ready for a lot of teams, even second division teams, to start being owned by American ownership. And that's where America comes in with a Saudi Arabian ownership and just clears everybody.
That's what I want. Mm-hmm. Scott, you did your duties. You did a great job. Just, we need that oil money now. As long as we get that oil money, we good. All right. All jokes aside again, America needs to, like Brian said, continue to build on that momentum and find a way to manage these games in these so-called easy, winnable games, to not necessarily showcase your best, but stat pad as much as you can, right? Which means, obviously, get as many goals, score as many goals as you can, build up and make as many chances as possible, rotate as much as you can within the parameters of the game, however you're managing them, whether it's 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, whatever. Just manage the time wisely as to, who you're putting on the pitch and stuff like that. Going back to the whole Alan St. Maximin thing, whether he'll come on in the 60th minute, 70th minute, who knows? We'll see. But yeah, this is a fun game. Chris, you mentioned it. America's had some very memorable games in that last at this at Jalisco. One that just kind of jumps off my mind is that game where America took that fancy penalty that we ended up losing that game because of the lineup situation, where Federico Viñas was on the bench when he wasn't even registered to be playing in that game. That was one of those things. Another one of these moments is literally just last season. I remember America versus Atlas, or Atlas versus America, was inside Jalisco. The only reason why I remember is because I didn't watch this game. I actually had to hear it for the entirety of the 90 minutes, because that's when I was in the hospital. So I was in the hospital and I was sick. I couldn't even barely keep my eyes open, but I still wanted to know how the game was going, how the game was doing. And I asked, and my sister put the game on her phone. And yeah, the whole night at the hospital, I was just watching listening to the whole game as America scored 1, 2, 3. I think America ended up winning that game, 3-1 or 4-1? I can't remember.
Chicote scored, and here's the badge.
Chicote scored that game. So yeah, one of those crazy moments, and where I'm sure, one of those little nuanced things in your head. But yeah, I look forward to this
serious game. Fan dedication to be hospitalized and listening to the game. So let's give some credit where credit's due.
Yeah, well, yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, obviously your mind's going through a lot of crazy stuff, right? But when you're trying to keep yourself sane and level-headed, you're thinking, okay, what's the one thing that can ground me? And America tends to do that for me, so.
I don't believe you. I could already picture you cussing it out even without seeing the game.
But yeah, I was still mad. America was winning 1-0 and then Atlas tied the game. And I was already criticizing them. I was like, I'm not watching this, but I can already tell. And I can already imagine. It was probably...
You turned off your imagination once instead of the TV.
Yeah, absolutely. But this game is going to be on a Sunday, oddly enough. Usually they're Saturdays, but it's going to be a Sunday night, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 Central, 9 p.m. Eastern for all our friends over at the East Coast. It's going to be kind of a late one before they have to go to work the next day. But you can catch this game on Through the NA, VIX most likely, and in English, for all of you who want to watch this game in English, it will be streamed on CBS Sports.
Can I give you some facts in English of this game?
Yeah.
That I just found. Have scored 6 goals in the last 5 matches. They haven't kept a clean sheet in 20 matches, and haven't won a match in 7 matches. America has scored 10 goals in the last 5. America hasn't lost to Atlas in the last 7 games, and Brian Rodriguez has the most big chances for America with 3.
These are all really important details for betting.
Yes.
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 Absolutely.
Exactly.
So all you bettors out there,
take the under in shooting for
yeah
for
Yeah.
And in clean
absolutely.
Sheets.
Yeah. Well, hopefully America can walk away with a clean sheet. I'd absolutely love to see that.
It'd be good for Malagón, too.
Yeah. Malagón, Ramón, all of them. I think if the defense can continue to perform and walk away with clean sheets or low-scoring games, it's nothing but going to be, obviously, a motivational boost. All right. With that said, gentlemen, let's give our predictions for this game on Sunday. Ryan, what are you going with? Scoreline.
Keep it fun. I think America will be up 1-0. New French signing gets in, solidifies it 2-0.
2-0. Love it. Love to see more goals. But hey, 2-0 and an Alan Saint-Maximin debut goal off the bench? I'll sign that right now. Absolutely. Chris, what are you going with?
I'll make it fun for you, bro.
Oh my God, yes. That's what I thought when you were saying fun, right?
I'll make it fun for you, bro.
There you go, 4-0.
In the same prediction, just because I think it's going to be like a Jeremy Menez when he debuted. I think it was against Lobos Bob, right? He debuted that game and scored.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, same thing. All right, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. All right, I guess I have to be the bearer of bad news here then. I guess since we've talked about goals galore and nothing, I'm going with a very boring, dull 1-0 victory. America just nicks it like in the 80th minute. And then that's it. Walks away with...
Just the most 2010 America on a Sunday type game, huh?
God,
just
yes.
Only we won instead of losing those games, right? We win.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. This time we'll reverse it.
But the boring still.
All in all, I think all of us will accept a victory, right? Regardless of how the result looks. Obviously, we'll be very critical of that. But still, at the end of the day, 3 points is needed. Not to say that, you know, you can't pass up a chance like this to stat pad as much as you can, right? Goal differential is going to be important at the end of the season. So if you have an opportunity, go and go out there. I don't want to see an America set that's like, oh, 2-0 up. I'm just kind of leave it like that. I want to see that 4-0. I want to see an America side that's hungry, that's like, hey, I got two, I can go for two more. And just kind of go on and continue to be like that. So I would absolutely love to see an America side that performs like that. And we'll have to wait and see. But we'll be back next week to break that game all down. And then I guess we'll talk a little bit about DC United and that friendly, what we can expect. But overall, gentlemen, anything else you want to add about this America Atlas game before we wrap it up?
No, I'm just be excited and see what goes on. If we actually get to see our new signing, if they can, you know, handle the, you know, off the field stuff, you know. You got a team with a new manager coming in who they know, and they need a win. They need to start moving. So, you know, it's on from there.
Absolutely. Chris?
I'll ask you guys this. If he gets subbed in, is he playing the wing or is he playing the 10?
Question.
I think if he gets subbed in, he's playing the wing. I think naturally you're thinking Brian Rodriguez is going to go with the national team. You're going to try to get him recuperated. You just kind of slot him man for man type of thing. Just depending on how the game's going, I could see him just playing on the wing.
But he's versatile, so that's what's going to be huge for us.
And he did say, right, that he would love to play the number 10. He feels like that's where he can have the most impact. So we'll see. We went from a very creative Diego Valdez number 10 to now having a very flashy number 10 in Saint-Maximin. I wonder how that's going to all pan out.
I'd argue he's more creative, to be honest.
Interesting. Well, we'll have to wait and see. I'd love to see him kind of show his merits on the pitch and showcase why he deserves to be our new number 10 maybe next season. Sendejas isn't really doing much with that number.
They're not going to get rid of the set, bro. They're going to try to sell.
Well, Dylan was very happy that Saint-Maximin got the 97. So
was born that year or what?
Maybe he could immortalize it.
Was Dylan born that year? Younger is Dylan? I always ask, and he's like, we came to the conclusion that Christian was born in 2000, and I was just like, damn, he's way too young.
No, Dylan's only, I think he's like 2 years younger than me.
And I'm only a year younger than you, so he was 97, right?
All right. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for taking out the time. Brian, thank you. It's been a while. It's been a minute, but honestly, we love it whenever you get to get on the podcast, so thank you for taking the time.
Yep, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And then Chris, of course, as always, great to see that you're doing a little bit better and that you were able to come onto the podcast. We hope you do get 100% better, and we'll have you back next week to talk all things Club America.
Just hope that it gets colder, brother. I think that's what's getting me sick right now. Going down this week. It's just the heat, bro. Yeah, I'm like so tired of it.
Trust me, I feel you. I feel you. All right. Well, you guys have a wonderful night. Thank you to all of our listeners. Thank you to everybody. We'll be back next week to talk all things Club America. Until then, make sure you guys follow us over at Twitter @EYPodcast. And go to our website, EagleEyePodcast.com. Make you guys keep up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Islas del America. With that said, take care. And as always, Arriba en America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.